Hello everyone. You are listening to the Creative Biolabs podcast. We provide reliable exosome-related services and products to clients around the world. Our services cover all aspects of exosome isolation and purification, identification, antibody, and engineering.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of our program. I'm Connie, and I am here today, Dr. Hofstadter, our old friend. We're looking forward to learning more about microvesicles and their significant role in biology. Dr. Hofstadter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Connie, for your kind invitation. I'm very glad to be here again.
So I think we've discussed that microvesicles secreted by hematopoietic stem progenitor cells, multipotent stromal cells, or cardiac stem cells can be used in various therapeutic strategies in regenerative medicine and play an important role in improving the function of damaged organs. They may have functions to inhibit apoptosis in damaged tissues, stimulate the proliferation of cells that survive organ injury, and stimulate the vascularization of affected tissues. Dr. Hofstadter, if you remember, at the end of the last episode, we briefly mentioned alternative explanations for the phenomenon of stem cell transdifferentiation and plasticity. Would you introduce the use of these interpretation methods in the research in more detail?
No problem. First, some of the stem cell plasticity data can possibly be explained simply by the phenomenon of cell fusion. Cell fusion can be described as a relatively rare phenomenon in which cells used for therapy may fuse with cells in damaged tissue and form heterokaryons. The cells observed in damaged tissues expressing markers of donor cells and typical cells of damaged organs used in treatment may be heterokaryons. This is the result of the fusion of therapeutic cells with somatic host cells in damaged organs. However, you know, cell fusion is an extremely rare event, so it cannot fully explain the extensive positive transdifferentiation or plasticity data published in several reports.
I see. Since the phenomenon of cell fusion does not seem to perfectly explain the stem cell plasticity data, what can make up for the shortcomings of cell fusion?
Indeed, some of the benefits observed in organ and tissue regeneration following infusion of therapeutic cells could be explained by paracrine effects. Stem cells, such as hematopoietic stem progenitor cells or pluripotent stromal cells, are a source of a variety of trophic cytokines and growth factors. If these factors are released from these cells, they can promote tissue repair and blood vessel formation. Hematopoietic stem progenitor cells have been reported to secrete stem cell factors, the hepatocyte growth factor, and the vascular endothelial growth factor, while pluripotent stromal cells secrete matrix-derived factor 1 and interleukin 8. In conclusion, paracrine stimulation can be used to explain that cells used for therapy are a source of nutrient and angiogenic factors that promote tissue and organ repair.
Great to hear that. And as far as I know, cells used for therapy, such as bone marrow cells, can contain various populations of stem cells. How to explain regeneration in this context?
Well, when we consider a heterogeneous population of stem cells, we can explain regeneration by the presence of endothelial progenitor cells that promote neovascularization and the presence of other stem cells, including pluripotent very small embryonic-like stem cells. I mean, cells used in regenerative medicine treatments may contain heterogeneous populations of stem cells from the outset. However, this simple fact was not carefully considered in the earliest reports demonstrating stem cell plasticity. The use of donor-derived bone marrow, mobilized peripheral blood, or umbilical cord blood cells to regenerate non-hematopoietic tissue may have given misleading interpretations. As you may know, bone marrow-derived monocytes include various types of non-hematopoietic stem progenitor cells, including endothelial progenitor cells and pluripotent very small embryonic-like stem cells. Therefore, I think the presence of these cells could explain the phenomenon of regeneration. Besides, some plasticity data can be explained by transient changes in cellular phenotype, and stimulation of cells in damaged organs, by microvesicles from cells used for treatment. Microvesicles may transfer between cellular proteins, messenger RNAs, and microRNAs, to inhibit apoptosis of damaged cells and stimulates angiogenesis.
When it comes to microvesicle-mediated molecular transfer, there is growing evidence that cells can transiently change the phenotype of neighboring cells. The mechanisms involved include the use of microvesicles to transfer surface receptors, intracellular proteins, messenger RNAs, and microRNAs. Why do the biological effects of microvesicles secreted by cells used in therapy explain the beneficial effects of stem cell therapy in regenerative medicine?
Well, as you know, all cell types secrete microvesicles, and some of the bioactive components in microvesicles depend on the source cell. These biologically active substances include membrane receptors, adhesion molecules, peptides, messenger RNAs, and microRNAs, hijacked from parental cells. More common components between cells, such as bioactive lipids that are components of cell membranes, S1P, ceramide, 1-phosphate, and lysophosphatidic acid, were highly enriched in all types of microvesicles. For example, S1P is known to inhibit apoptosis and stimulate angiogenesis. So that's why the biological effects of microvesicles secreted by cells used in therapy may explain the beneficial effects of stem cell therapy in regenerative medicine.
Okay. Then how would you describe the role of microparticles in the horizontal transfer of messenger RNAs and microRNAs?
Great question. You know the answer is in understanding their regenerative properties. In the presence of mouse embryonic stem cell-derived microvesicles, the phenomenon of horizontal transfer of intercellular messenger RNA has been proved for the first time in the expansion model of mouse hematopoietic stem progenitor cells. Maintaining pluripotency and undifferentiated reproduction of embryonic stem cells in vitro requires close intercellular contact and effective intercellular signal transduction. So, we hypothesize that microvesicles from embryonic stem cells express stem cell-specific molecules and also support the self-renewal and expansion of adult stem cells.
Does the result that mouse hematopoietic stem progenitor cells are expanded in the presence of embryonic stem cell-derived microvesicles validate this hypothesis?
Yeah, you can say that. It has been reported that microvesicles derived from the mouse embryonic stem cell line D3 in serum-free cultures significantly improve the survival and expansion of mouse hematopoietic stem progenitor cells. Also, they upregulated the expression of early hematopoietic stem cell markers in these cells. In addition, D3-derived microvesicles regulated the MAPKAKT signaling pathway through phosphorylation.
That's a fantastic case study. And I want to ask, what components are selectively enriched in embryonic stem cell-derived microvesicles compared to worker cells? What biological effects do they cause with these components?
Well, as far as I know, molecular analysis revealed that embryonic stem cell-derived microvesicles were selectively highly enriched for messenger RNAs of several pluripotency transcription factors, compared to parental cells. These messenger RNAs can be shuttled through these microvesicles to hematopoietic stem progenitor cells and translated into the corresponding proteins. After heat inactivation or RNase pretreatment, these positive biological effects of embryonic stem cell-derived microvesicles on hematopoietic stem progenitor cells were inhibited. I mean, it indicates that protein and messenger RNA are the main components involved in these biological effects. So, I think this study is the first to demonstrate definitively that microvesicles can efficiently expand mouse hematopoietic stem progenitor cells in vitro after the horizontal transfer of embryonic stem cell-derived messenger RNA and microRNA species, and induce pluripotency in these cells.
It's amazing, Dr. Hofstadter. Any other studies to prove this mechanism by which microvesicles alter the phenotype of target cells?
Sure. For example, One study demonstrated that changes in the phenotype of rat bone marrow-derived hematopoietic stem progenitor cells were observed when co-cultured with murine lung tissue-derived microvesicles. Guess what? This transfer of microvesicles was demonstrated in an in vitro co-culture system. The researchers separated bone marrow cells and lung cells with a cell-impermeable membrane. They then detected murine messenger RNAs of lung epithelial cell-specific surfactants B and C in rat cells using species-specific primers. Similarly, results of albumin messenger RNA transfer following co-culture with rat or murine hepatocytes have been reported.
Do you think microvesicle-mediated changes in cellular phenotype are a general phenomenon?
Totally. The evidence is that a similar mechanism of organ-specific messenger RNA transfer to bone marrow cells has been demonstrated for microvesicles derived from the brain, heart, and liver. On the other hand, it has been reported that pulmonary-derived microvesicles may transfer microRNAs. Further negatively regulates lung epithelial cell-specific messenger RNA levels in co-cultured bone marrow cells. Therefore, the transfer of messenger RNAs and microRNAs by microvesicles has a distinct effect on the phenotype of target cells.
So, Dr. Hofstadter, according to you, the microvesicle-mediated exchange of receptors, proteins, messenger RNA, and microRNA between therapeutic cells and target damaged organ cells can temporarily change the phenotype of these cells. Then, are these transient modifications likely to give the illusion of transdifferentiation, plasticity, or chimerism?
I have to say, it's possible. This mechanism may have beneficial effects on the recovery and regeneration of damaged tissues. For example, bone marrow-derived monocytes are used to treat damaged lung tissue. As you can see, the paracrine effect of transplanted bone marrow-derived monocytes and their derived microvesicles improves the function of damaged tissues. Due to the transfer of receptors, messenger RNA, microRNA, and protein of bone marrow-derived monocytes to lung cells, the phenotype of damaged cells is temporarily changed. I mean, this may give the impression of a true chimera or stem cell plasticity.
In general, microvesicles are the source of several anti-apoptotic, proliferation-stimulating, and angiogenesis factors. Moreover, these factors may have beneficial effects on improving the function of damaged tissues. From the perspective of clinical treatment, what is your view on the significance of discovering these mechanisms?
Well, this poorly understood mechanism is important to explain the beneficial effects of stem cell therapy currently used in cardiology, nephrology, or neurology. You know, very similar beneficial effects have been reported in both experimental and clinical trials aimed at improving the function of myocardial or neural tissue, regardless of the cell type used for treatment. These similar effects strongly suggest the participation of common mechanisms. Based on this reasoning, we hypothesized that these beneficial effects mainly depend on the paracrine of growth factors, cytokines, and chemokines. Most importantly, it depends on the secretion of pro-regeneration signals transmitted by microvesicles from cells used for treatment.
In other words, the paracrine effect of cells used in stem cell therapy and the participation in this cell-derived microbubble phenomenon are becoming an important mechanism to explain some of the observed beneficial effects. Based on this realization, I can imagine the potential application of microvesicles to replace whole cells in regenerative medicine. Dr. Hofstadter, can you give us some examples to support this possibility?
Certainly. A recent study found that mesenchymal stem cell-derived microvesicles have the same beneficial effect on kidney regeneration as intact mesenchymal stem cells. Mesenchymal stem cell-derived microvesicles have been reported to protect kidneys from ischemia reperfusion-induced acute and chronic kidney injury. Microvesicles isolated from mesenchymal stem cells were intravenously injected into rats immediately after unilateral nephrectomy, and renal arteries and veins were transiently blocked to the remaining kidney. The authors observed that A single administration of microvesicles immediately after ischemia reperfusion injury protected experimental animals from acute kidney injury. This is achieved by inhibiting apoptosis and stimulating tubular epithelial cell proliferation.
Maybe we can go further with this. Which molecules in these microvesicles does this phenomenon depend on?
It's the messenger RNA present in these microvesicles, I guess. Because pretreatment of microvesicles with RNase eliminates this effect. You know, previous work showed that similar protection was observed after infusion of mesenchymal stem cells. And this recent report further suggests that mesenchymal stem cells and their derived microvesicles show comparable therapeutic effects. Similarly, in another study, human hepatic stem cell-derived microvesicles were demonstrated to accelerate liver regeneration in partially hepatectomized rats. So, we believe this regenerative effect was again associated with an increase in hepatocyte proliferation and was abolished when the microvesicles were pretreated with RNase. This suggests the importance of messenger RNA and microRNA-dependent transfer mechanisms in the overexpression of appropriate anti-apoptotic genes in target cells.
That's fantastic, Dr. Hofstadter. I think that's a great place to close. Thank you for all of your insights into the beneficial effect of microvesicles on regeneration today.
Thank you, Connie.
The above is all about microvesicles in our series. See you in the next series.